الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Virtues of Nafl Fast. Supplication of Amir Ahlus Sunnah. O Allah, whosoever reads or listens to the 28-page booklet, Virtues of Nafl Fast, grant them the ability to keep Nafl fast and offer Nafl Salah alongside their Fard. Ameen bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The excellence of reciting Salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam stated, on the Day of Judgment, there will be nothing giving shade other than the Arsh of Allah. Three types of people will be under it. O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he was asked, who will they be? He replied, he who removes the difficulty of anyone from my ummah, he who revives my sunnah, and he who sends salat upon me in abundance. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Religious and worldly benefits of Nafl fasts. Dear Islamic brothers, in addition to Fard fasts, we should also make a habit of observing Nafl fasts, as there are countless religious and worldly benefits for us in doing so. The reward of them is incalculable. A person derives such joy from them that he may feel like fasting all the time. The religious benefits include preservation of faith, protection from hellfire, and the attainment of paradise. As for worldly benefits, they include saving of time and money, the time and money spent on eating and drinking, a healthy digestive system, and protection from many illnesses. Greatest of all, they lead to earning the pleasure of Allah. Glad tidings of forgiveness for fasting people. Allah Almighty says in the 35th verse of Surah Ahzab, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. Translation from Kanzul Iman: fasting men and the fasting women, and the men who guard their chastity, and the women who guard their chastity, and the men who abundantly remember Allah, and the women who abundantly remember Allah. For all of them, Allah has kept prepared forgiveness and an enormous reward. In the commentary of وَالصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ, and fasting men and women, Allama Abu al-Barakat Abdullah bin Ahmad Nasafi rahmatullahi alayhi writes, this includes both Fard and Nafl fasts. It is reported that he who observes the three fasts of Ayyam al-Bidh, i.e. the 13th, 14th and 15th of the lunar month, is included amongst those who fast. Allah states in the 24th verse of Surah Al-Haqqah, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Qulu washrabu hani'an bima aslaftum fil ayyamil khaliyah. Translation from Kanzul Iman: eat and drink with pleasure the reward of what you sent ahead in the past days. The hadith expert Shah Abdul Aziz Dehlvi rahmatullahi alayh comments on the meaning of past days mentioned in the above verse. This means days of the world that have passed, or days that were free of eating and drinking. The latter include the days of fasting during Ramadan and other Sunnah days of fasting, such as Ayyam al-Bid, the day of Arafah, a 9th of Dhul Hijjah, Ashura, Monday, Thursday, or the 15th of Shaban, etc. Imam Mujahid rahmatullahi alayh comments, the meaning of fil ayyam al khaliyah, in the days gone by, refers to days of fasting. In other words, eat and drink in recompense for the days in which you prevented yourself from doing so for the sake of Allah. Food and drink in paradise will be granted in exchange for avoiding eating and drinking in the world. 13 Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam regarding the virtues of nafil fasts. Number 1. Unique tree in paradise. Whoever keeps a nafil fast, a tree will be planted for him in paradise, the fruit of which will be smaller than a pomegranate and larger than an apple. It will be as sweet as honey and taste pleasant. On the day of judgment, Allah will feed the fruits of this tree to the fasting person. Number 2. A distance of 40 years from hell. Whoever keeps a nafil fast hoping for reward, Allah will move him the distance of 40 years from hell. Number 3. 50 years distance away from hell. He who keeps one nafil fast seeking to please Allah will be kept away from hell by Allah according to the distance a fast ride traverses in 50 years. Number 4. More reward than earth full of gold. If someone keeps a nafil fast and he is given the whole earth full of gold, his reward will still remain incomplete. His reward will only be given on the day of judgment. Number 5. Far away from hell. Whoever keeps one fard fast in the path of Allah will be distanced by Allah as far from hell as the distance between the 7 earths and 7 skies. Whoever keeps a nafil fast for one day, Allah shall distance him as far away from hell as is the distance between the earth and the sky. Number 6. The crow continues to fly from infancy into adulthood until whoever fasted a day to attain the pleasure of Allah shall be distanced from hell by Allah according to the distance travelled by a crow who begins flying in its childhood until it becomes old and dies. Number 7. There is no deed like fasting. Sayyidina Abu Umama radiallahu anhu narrates that he asked, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, tell me such an action that will lead me to paradise. He replied, make fasting obligatory upon yourself, because there is no other deed like it. The narrator mentions, smoke was never seen at the house of Abu Umama radiallahu anh during the day, except when guests arrived. In other words, he did not eat during the day, because he would always fast. Number 8. Fast, you will become healthy. Sumu tasihu. Fast, you will become healthy. Number 9. Delight for fasting people. When those who fasted will be raised from their graves on the day of judgment, they will be recognized due to the smell of fasting. A dining mat will be laid for them, and it will be said to them, eat. You were hungry yesterday. Drink, you were thirsty yesterday. Rest, you were tired yesterday. Thus, they will eat, drink, and rest whilst people are trapped in the difficulty of accountability and afflicted by thirst. Number 10. He will enter paradise. He who passed away while saying, La ilaha illallah, will enter paradise. And he who passed away on the day he fasted for the sake of Allah will enter paradise. And he who gave charity for the sake of Allah, and this was his last action, he will enter paradise. Number 11. For as long as food is eaten in front of a fasting person. Sayyidatuna Umme Umara binte Kaab radiyallahu anha narrates, The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam visited me. When I presented some food to him, he said to me, You eat too. I replied, I am fasting. He then declared, For as long as food is eaten in front of a fasting person, angels make dua for their forgiveness. Number 12. His bones make tasbih. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said to Sayyiduna Bilal radiyallahu an, O Bilal, come and have breakfast. Sayyiduna Bilal radiyallahu an replied, I am fasting. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam then said, We are eating our sustenance whilst the sustenance of Bilal is increasing in paradise. He further said, O Bilal, do you know that angels continue making dua for the fasting person and his bones make tasbih for as long as someone eats before him? Number 13. Virtue of dying whilst fasting. Whoever dies whilst fasting, Allah will record fasts in his book of deeds until the day of judgment. Honor of dying during a righteous deed. Subhanallah. Fortunate is the Muslim that meets his death in the state of fasting. Death during any righteous deed is in fact a tremendous thing. Some examples are as follows. Dying in the state of wudu, whilst offering salah, during the journey to Medina, or in the blessed city itself, as well as departing this world in Makkah, in Mina, in Muzdalifah, or Arafat during Hajj, also dying during a Sunnah-inspired Madni Qafila of Dawat-e-Islami, whilst learning the Sunnah in the company of those who love the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, is also a great honor. These are all privileges that are only gifted to the fortunate. Describing the righteous wishes of the Honorable Companions alayhim ridwan, Sayyiduna Khaythama radiyallahu anhu said, The Companions alayhim ridwan like to pass away during a good deed, such as Hajj, Umrah, fighting in the path of Allah, or fasting in Ramadan, etc. Faith refreshing death of Uncle Kalu. Death whilst performing a righteous deed is only granted to the fortunate. In this respect, listen to one of the blessings of the collective itikaf organized by Dawat-e-Islami and make a firm intention to remain associated with the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami throughout your life. 60-year-old Uncle Kalu from Madinatul Awliya, Ahmedabad, India, attended the collective itikaf organized by Dawat-e-Islami during the last 10 days of Ramadan, 2004-14-25 AH, in Shahi Masjid, Ahmedabad. Although he was already associated with the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami, this was the first time that he had attended the collective itikaf. He learnt a lot during this time and started offering salah in the first row of the masjid enthusiastically, which is the second pious deed from the 72 pious deeds booklet. On the second of Shawwal, i.e. the second day of Eid al-Fitr, he travelled with a sunnah-inspired Madni qafila for 3 days. On the 11th of Shawwal, 1425 AH, 2004, just 5 or 6 days after he had returned from the Madni qafila, he went to the market to purchase something. As there was the possibility of not being in the first row of the congregational salah in a nearby masjid, he left the market straight away and entered the masjid before azan had been given. He left each and every sort of market-related activity behind. As he stood up after performing wudu, he suddenly fell to the ground. Reciting the kalima and salat upon the Prophet, his soul eventually left his body. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Alhamdulillah, due to the blessings of the collective itikaf, the enthusiasm for acting upon the second pious deed of performing salah in the first row took Uncle Kalu from the market's environment of heedlessness to the merciful atmosphere of the masjid, where he was blessed with the privilege of reciting the kalima and salat upon the Prophet at the time of his death. Subhanallah, whoever recites the kalima at the time of death will succeed in the grave as well as on the day of judgment. As the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, he whose last words are la ilaha illallahu will enter paradise. Listen to further blessings of the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami. A few days after the death of Uncle Kalu, his son had a dream in which he saw his father dressed in white clothes and a green imama. Son, he smiled, keep doing the religious work of Dawat-e-Islami, as I have been blessed due to this religious movement. The virtue of fasting during intense heat, an account. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma narrates, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam dispatched Sayyidina Abu Musa radiyallahu anhu on a naval expedition. During one dark night, when the sails of the ship were raised, a voice from the unseen called out, O people of the ship, stop. Should I not inform you of what Allah has taken upon His grace? Abu Musa replied, if you can tell us, then most certainly do. The voice said, he who keeps himself thirsty for Allah on a day of intense heat, Allah will quench his thirst on the day of intense thirst, i.e. day of judgment. The narrator mentions, it was the practice of Sayyidina Abu Musa radiyallahu anhu to fast on days of intense heat. The fasting people will eat on the day of judgment. The great Tabi'i, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Rabbah Ansari rahmatullahi alayh, states that I heard from a hermit that dining mats will be spread on the day of judgment, and the first to eat from them will be those who fasted. Fasts of 13th, 14th and 15th, Ayyam al-Bid. Every Islamic brother and sister should fast at least 3 days every Islamic month, as there are many worldly and religious benefits in this. It is best to fast during Ayyam al-Bid, i.e. the white days, which are the 13th, 14th and 15th of every lunar month. Three narrations regarding the fasts of Ayyam al-Bid. Number one, The mother of the believers, Sayyidatuna Hafsa radiyallahu anha, narrated that there were four things the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam never missed: the fast of Ashura, as well as the 10 days of Zulhijjah, three fasts every month, and two units sunnah before the fard of Fajr. The portion of the hadith referring to fasting in Zulhijjah specifically relates to fasting during the first 9 days, as it is haram to fast on the 10th of Zulhijjah. Number 2. Sayyiduna Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma reports that whether the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam was in the state of travel or in residence, he would always keep fast during Ayyam al-Bid. The mother of the believers, Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu anha, narrates, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam would keep fasts on Saturday, Sunday and Monday in 1 month, and he would keep fasts on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday in the next. 5 hadith regarding the fasts of Ayyam al-Bid. Number 1. Just as any one of you have a shield for protection during battle, fasting is your shield from hell. Fasting for 3 days every month is the best form of fasts. Number 2. Fasting 3 days every month is like fasting continuously. Number 3. The fasts of Ramadan and 3 fasts every month remove the evil of the chest, such as hypocrisy. Number 4. He who can fast 3 days every month should do so, because each fast removes 10 sins and cleanses one from sins in the manner water cleanses clothes. Number 5. If you wish to fast 3 days in a month, then fast on the 13th, 14th, and 15th. Prayer for death. Dear Islamic brothers, in order to develop the mindset to fast during Ayyam al-Bid, practice the sunnah and perform other good deeds. Join the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Just observing from a distance will not prove to be so effective. So please, travel with the sunnah-inspired Madni Qafilas and take part in the collective itikaf of Ramadan too. You will experience inner peace to the extent that you shall be amazed, inshallah. Let us hear just one example of how wayward people become pious due to the blessings of joining the religious environment of Dawat-e-Islami. There was an Islamic brother of Karachi, Pakistan, who was extremely mischievous and troublesome. He used to quarrel with people over trivial matters. All the locals were distressed due to his misdeeds, and his family had grown so weary of him that they used to pray for his death. Fortunately, some Islamic brothers invited him to take part in the collective itikaf held in Ramadan, and he agreed out of courtesy. Thus, he ended up observing itikaf in Ramadan 1420 AH 1999 in Maimon Masjid, Jacobabad. During this time, he learnt about the method of wudu, ghusl, salah, the rights of Allah, the rights of people, and how to treat other Muslims. Sunnah-inspired speeches and heartfelt supplications affected him inwardly to a great extent. With remorse, he repented of his previous sins and developed a desire to do good deeds. Alhamdulillah, he grew his beard, which is a symbol of love for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, adorned his head with a green imama and started calling people towards righteousness, giving up fighting and arguing in the process. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Five narrations about fasting on Mondays and Thursdays. Number one. As reported by Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, deeds are presented every Monday and Thursday, so I prefer for my deeds to be presented whilst I am fasting. This is so the river of divine mercy flows even more intensely due to the blessings of one's fast. Number two. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would fast on Monday and Thursday. When asked about the reason for this, he said, in these 2 days, Allah Almighty forgives every Muslim except the two who have cut off ties with each other. He says to the angels regarding them, leave them until they reconcile. On page 196 of Mirat's third volume, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Rahmatullahi Alayh comments upon this hadith. Subhanallah, these 2 days are of great esteem and blessings. And why would this not be the case when they are linked to esteemed individuals? Thursday is the neighbor of Friday, and it is the day Sayyidatuna Amina radiallahu anha became pregnant. Monday is the day of the final Prophet's birth and the day when the Quran was revealed. Number three. Sayyidatuna Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha narrates, the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would particularly keep fasts on Monday and Thursday. Number four. Narrated by Sayyiduna Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was asked the reason for fasting on Monday, to which he explained, I was born on this day, and this is the day I received a revelation. Number five. The servant of Sayyiduna Usama bin Zayd radiyallahu anhuma reports, Usama bin Zayd radiyallahu anhu would not miss the fast of Monday and Thursday even whilst traveling. I asked him why he did so despite his advanced age at the time. He replied, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would also keep fast on Monday and Thursday. I once asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, why do you keep fast on these 2 days? He replied, the deeds of people are presented on Monday and Thursday. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Three virtues of fasting on Wednesday and Thursday. Number one. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma narrates that the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, protection from hell is written for whoever fasts on Wednesday and Thursday. Number two. Sayyiduna Muslim bin Ubaidullah Qarashi radiyallahu anhu narrated from his honorable father, who himself said that either he or someone else asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, shall I fast every day? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam remained silent. He was asked again and still remained silent. When asked for a third time, the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam asked, who inquired about fasting? It was me, O Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, said the questioner. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, then said, Verily your family has a right over you. Fast in Ramadan, the adjoining month, i.e. Shawwal, as well as every Wednesday and Thursday. If you do this, it will be as if you fasted continuously. Number 3. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Whoever fasted in Ramadan, Shawwal, Wednesday and Thursday shall enter paradise. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. 3 hadith regarding the virtue of fasting on Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. Number 1. Whoever fasted on Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, Allah shall make such a house for him in paradise that its exterior will be visible from the inside and its interior visible from the outside. Number 2. Whosoever fasted on Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, Allah shall create a palace of pearls, rubies and emeralds for him in paradise. Freedom from hell shall also be written for him. Number 3. He who fasts on Wednesday, Thursday and Friday and then gives charity on Friday, whether it be little or more, shall be forgiven for his sins and become the same as the day his mother gave birth to him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. 4 virtues of fasting on Friday. Number 1. Whoever fasted on Friday, Allah shall grant him reward equal to 10 days of the hereafter, and they are not like the worldly days. It is mentioned on page 653 in the 10th volume of Fatawa-e Razaviya. The fast of Friday, i.e. when combined with the fast of Thursday or Saturday, has been reported to be equal to the fasts of 10,000 years. Number 2. Whosoever offered Friday Salah, fasted, visited a sick person, walked with a funeral and attended a nikah on the same day, paradise has become wajib for him. Number 3. He who was in a state of fast on Friday morning, visited a sick person, accompanied a funeral and gave charity, has made paradise wajib for himself. Number 4. Whoever fasted on Friday, visited a sick person, fed the poor and accompanied a funeral, will not be afflicted with sins for 40 years. The meaning of will not be afflicted with sins for 40 years is either that such a person will be granted the ability to solely perform good deeds, or in the case of committing sins, he will be granted the ability to repent in such a manner that will wipe them away. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu describes how the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam very rarely did not fast on Friday. Dear Islamic brothers, just as one should fast a day before or after the fast of Ashura, one should do the same for Friday. Fasting on Friday or Saturday alone is makruh-e tanzihi, minorly disliked. However, if a particular date, such as the 15th of Shaban, the 27th of Rajab, etc., falls on a Friday or Saturday, there is no dislike in fasting on Friday or Saturday alone in this case. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. 3 hadith regarding the disallowance of fasting on Friday alone. Number 1. Do not single out the night of Friday, the night between Thursday and Friday, for remaining awake, and do not specify the day of Friday for fasting, except if you are keeping a fast that you must. On page 187, in the third volume of Mirat, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Rahmatullahi Alayh explains what is meant by do not single out the night of Friday for remaining awake. Worshipping on the night of Friday is not prohibited, but it is not appropriate to not worship at all during other nights, as this is a sign of heedlessness, as the night of Friday is of greater virtue. There was a fear that people would single it out for voluntary worship, which is why it was mentioned. Number two, none of you should keep the fast of Friday except by joining one day before or after it. Number three, Friday is a day of Eid for you, so do not fast on this day unless if you fast before or after it. We learn from these hadith that we should not keep the fast of Friday alone. However, this prohibition only applies if one singles out fasting on Friday specifically. If there is no specification, for example, if one's holiday happened to fall on a Friday and you fast in order to take advantage of this, then there is no dislike. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Rahmatullahi Alayh writes on page 187 in the third volume of Mirat, for example, if a person has the practice of fasting on the 11th and 12th of every month, and one of these fasts happens to fall on Friday, he should fast. It is not even khilaf al-awla to do so in this case. A fatwa in relation to fasting on Friday. In this regard, here is an informative question and answer taken from page 559 of the 10th volume of Fatawa-i Razaviyya. Question: what do the scholars of Islam say regarding the following matter? How is it to keep a fast on Friday? An individual kept a fast on Friday, so another said to him, Friday is Eid for the believers and it is makruh to fast on this day. After much coercion, he was made to break his fast after midday, and it was shown it is makruh in the book Sir al-Qulub. In this case, will the one who broke his fast have to make expiation or not? And is there any blame upon the one who compelled him to break his fast? Answer: if one fasted on Friday with the intention of specifying that day in particular, then it is makruh. However, it is not the level of dislike that necessitates one to break the fast. If he did not have the intention of singling out Friday, then there was no dislike in the first place. If the second individual was not aware of a makruh intention, his objection was complete foolishness. His insistence upon breaking the fast was a daring feat of audacity before Sharia. Even if he was aware of the makruh intention, then it was sufficient for him to simply mention the ruling. He did not have to compel the other to break his fast, and that too after midday, which none have the authority to do except for one's parents when it concerns nafal fasts. Both he who invalidated his fast and he who compelled him to do so are sinful. It is necessary upon the one who nullified his fast to make it up. There is, however, no impending expiation of any kind. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The fasts of Saturday and Sunday. Sayyidatuna Umme Salama radiyallahu anha narrates how the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam would fast on Saturday and Sunday. He would declare, "These two, Saturday and Sunday, are days of Eid for the polytheists, i.e. mushrikeen, and I wish to oppose them. Fasting on Saturday alone is disallowed." Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Busr radiyallahu anhu narrates from his sister, who herself conveyed that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Besides farz fasts, do not fast on Saturday." Imam Abu Isa Tirmidhi radiyallahu anhu said that this hadith is hasan and refers to the prohibition of specifying fasting on Saturday alone, as Jews reverse this day. 13 Madni pearls regarding nafal fasts. Number 1. If parents prevent their son from nafal fast for fear of illness, he should obey them. Number 2. A wife cannot keep a nafal fast without her husband's permission. Number 3. In case of intentionally keeping a nafal fast, it becomes wajib to complete it. If it is broken, it will be wajib to make up for it. Number 4. If a nafal fast became invalid unintentionally and not deliberately, such as if a woman's menses begin during her fast, for example, the fast will become invalid and it will be wajib to make up for it. Number 5. It is not permissible to break a nafal fast without a valid exemption. If a fasting host realizes his guest will find it improper if the host does not eat with him, or if a fasting guest realizes the host will be upset in the case of him not eating, these are considered valid exemptions for breaking the nafal fast, provided it is done so before Dahwa-i Kubra. Whoever breaks their fast must also be certain he will make up for it later. Number 6. If parents are upset, one can break a nafal fast before Asr but not afterwards. Number 7. If a fasting person is invited to a meal by an Islamic brother, he can break the nafal fast before Dahwa-i Kubra, but it will be wajib for him to make up for it later. Number 8. If I'm invited to a meal, then I'll not fast, but if I'm not invited, then I will fast. This type of intention and fast are invalid regardless of whether or not one is invited to a meal. Number 9. If an employee or worker will not be able to carry out his work properly due to a nafal fast, it is necessary for him to seek the permission of his employer. If he can work properly, he does not require his employer's permission in this case. Number 10. If a student of Islamic knowledge becomes weak, tired, or finds obstacles arising in his studies due to nafal fasts, he should not keep them. Number 11. Prophet Dawood alayhi salam used to fast on alternative days. This is known as Dawoodi fasting. This is the best way to fast. As the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "The best fasting is that of my brother Dawood alayhi salam. He would fast one day and not the next, and he never fled from opposing an enemy." Number 12. Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam used to fast on the first three, middle three, and last three days of the month. Like this, he would remain in the state of fasting during the beginning, middle, and end of the month. Number 13. Fasting for the entire year is makruh-e-tanzihi, i.e. fasting continuously except
on the 1st of Shawwal, on the 10th to the 13th of Zilhijjah, and it is haram to fast on these days. Fasting continuously. There is also the following hadith of Bukhari which prohibits fasting every day, and scholars have expounded vastly upon its various meanings. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, "La sama man sama ad-dahr." He who fasts continuously has not fasted at all. The commentator of Bukhari, Mufti Muhammad Sharif al-Haq Amjadi rahmatullahi alayhi, writes, "If this hadith is taken in the meaning of prohibition, i.e. if this is taken to mean fasting continuously is prohibited and there is no reward for the one who does so, then this refers to those who have predominant assumption that their weakness due to fasting continuously will prevent them from fulfilling rites that are wajib upon them, be they worldly or religious. This includes salah, striving in the way of Allah, and earning to raise children. If they have predominant assumption that even by fasting continuously, they will still have the ability to adequately fulfill the rites that are wajib upon them, but they will be unable to fulfill those which are not wajib, fasting will be makruh or khilaful awla for them instead. As for those who have predominant assumption that despite fasting continuously, they will be able to satisfactorily fulfill all wajib, sunnah and mustahab rites, it is not makruh for them. Some of the companions, such as Abu Talha Ansari and Hamza bin Amr Aslami radiyallahu anhuma, would fast continuously. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam did not prohibit them from this. Likewise, fasting continuously is attributed to many successors of the companions and saints. O Lord of Mustafa, allowing us to value our life, health and free time, grant us the ability to keep abundant nafal fasts. Accept them, forgive us without accountability, and forgive the entire ummah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.